Welcome to Your Rancher Radio, the podcast. Jim Watkins, it's always good to have you here, and I appreciate you so much. And, of course, we always have things that we like to share and talk about. And this time up, we're going to talk about something, actually several different things. I'm talking about a virus, angels, and the importance of a revelation. And I have to admit, I'm not an end-of-the-world kind of guy, but this coronavirus thing has really got me worried. But I also think it serves as a great reason to explore why having this revelation is especially vital during these times. Jesus reminds us to discern the turning of the leaves and the changing seasons. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. No doubt the coronavirus is starting to get people's attention. The ramifications of its spread should provide people with a reason to worry, especially since at this time there is no vaccine. The world is so interconnected now that what happens to 1.4 billion people affects everyone on numerous levels. Least among them is the fact that people die from this sickness and it spreads easily, not to mention the economic effects that it will have and the ripple to every corner of the earth. I wouldn't say God is punishing us, some people would accuse that, but clearly mankind is certainly being tested for his less than spiritual behavior that has brought us to this event. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But, all things considered, I have no doubt that we are in good hands. As we are told about in paper 113 of the Urantia book, that among the seraphic personalities who minister and care for us during our earthly sojourn are the seraphic ministers assigned to the assistance of those mortal agencies dedicated to the promotion of health and the prevention of disease, end quote. Seems pretty clear. While our earth doctors and biologists seek to spread the containment and hopefully find a cure to this COVID-19 virus, the angels of health are assisting in this endeavor. I believe this because I believe the revelation. We would remember that we Urantians are at a bit of a disadvantage. We're unable to withstand some diseases because we, as the book admits, failed to get the full measure of the Adamic blood so that we would be able to withstand these diseases. So it would be correct to accept the premise that angels would be helping us find a cure, not just for COVID-19, but all diseases, really. I mean, after all, they want us to be healthy. God wants people to be healthy, even when our own bad behavior causes us to be sick. So how do they help us? From paper 113, we read, "Seraphim function as teachers of men by guiding the footsteps of the human personality into paths of new and progressive experiences. To accept the guidance of a seraphim rarely means attaining a life of ease," end quote. Quote, "The urge to pray, so often experienced by God-conscious mortals, very often arises as a result of seraphic influence. The guarding seraphim is constantly manipulating the mortal environment for the purpose of augmenting the cosmic insight of the human ascender, to the end that such a survival candidate may acquire enhanced realization," end quote. Quote, "They are not overlords or directors, they are simply guardians. The seraphim guard you. They do not seek directly to influence you. You must chart your own course, but these angels then act to make the best possible use of the course you have chosen," end quote. So there are quotes also that say that angels bring like-minded people together sometimes by manipulating the environment or having forethought to coordinate events in such a way as to provide a favorable environmental unity function that occurs between minds given to a specific task or project, like finding a disease, perhaps. One can only speculate. Now, moving away from that, let's also take the other aspect of what happens when there's a pandemic. What happens when society is on the cusp of a great shift? Well, we're told that people are at their best in crisis, that true character is displayed when heroism and courage are at work. And it is usually in crisis where true character emerges. So, for example, paper 3, paragraph 5, we are reminded, quote, "The uncertainties of life and the vicissitudes of existence do not in any manner contradict the concept of the universal sovereignty of God. All evolutionary creature life is beset by certain inevitabilities. Consider the following. Number one, is courage, strength of character, desirable? that man must be reared in an environment which necessitates grappling with hardship and reacting to disappointments. 2 is altruism, service of one fellow, desirable. Then must life experience provide for encountering situations of social inequality. 3 is hope, the grandeur of trust, desirable. Then human existence must constantly be confronted with insecurities and recurrent uncertainties. 4 is faith, the supreme assertion of human thought, desirable. Then must the mind of man find itself in that troublesome predicament where it knows less than it can believe. 5 is the love of truth and the willingness to go wherever it leads, desirable. Then must man grow up in a world where error is present and falsehood always possible. 6 is idealism, the approaching concept of the divine, desirable. Then must man struggle in an environment of relative goodness and beauty, surroundings stimulative of the irrepressible reach for better things. 7 is loyalty, devotion to highest duty, desirable. Then must man carry on, amid the possibilities of betrayal and desertion. The valor of devotion to duty consists in the implied danger of default. 8 is unselfishness, the spirit of self-forgetfulness, desirable. Then must mortal man live face to face with the incessant clamoring of an inescapable self for recognition and honor. Man could not dynamically choose the divine life if there was no self-life to forsake. Man could never lay saving hold on righteousness if there was no potential evil to exalt and differentiate the good by contrast. 9 is pleasure, the satisfaction of happiness, desirable. Then must man live in a world where the alternative of pain and the likelihood of suffering are ever-present experiential possibilities. So in these scenarios, even under the worst of circumstances, become opportunities to which each of us are able to display faithfulness, loyalty, courage, and are willing to serve a higher cause than ourselves. But there is another part of this current virus outbreak that gives me pause as to the real problems we have in the current age, despite the fact that the age may bring about opportunities for us to exercise good character. See, the COVID-19 virus may have emerged as part of an attempt by the government of China or perhaps even the United States to create a bioweapon or perhaps to find a vaccine. Either way, it appears to be a constructed virus, not something that is part of nature. What does that have to do with the Urantia book? Well, it has to do with humanity and what happens when God is removed from the world, which in this case is something we have discussed many times on this various program, the notion that 1.4 billion people are controlled by basically an atheistic government. That's not good. And we've talked many times about some of the prophetic statements made in the Urantia book that talks about this very age. Singling out paper 195, we are warned about the dangers of the rise of secularism and materialism, totalitarianism in our society, and about governments and civilizations that think that the secular human approach to governing can bring about world peace or universal brotherhood, but never seems to. In fact, we're told the opposite, and to look for the unwanted harvest of death and destruction when man loses or discards spiritual truth predicated on the singular notion of the first source and center, a higher purpose than simple material gain. So from paper 195, paragraph 8 on materialism, we're reminded, quote, it threatens to establish a new and godless type of mastery over the hearts and minds of mortal man. The tyrannical and dictatorial political state is the direct offspring of scientific materialism and philosophic secularism. Also from this same paragraph, 20th century secularism tends to affirm that man does not need God. But beware, this godless philosophy of human society will only lead to unrest, animosity, unhappiness, war, and worldwide disaster. Secularism can never bring peace to mankind. Nothing can take the place of God in human society. End quote. From paragraph 8, section 11, same paper, 195, and because the secularistic revolt went too far and lost sight of God and true religion, there also followed the unlooked-for harvest of world wars and international unsettledness. And then there is his final remark on the dangers of a secular world, paper 195, paragraph 813. The complete secularization of science, education, industry, and society can only lead to disaster. During the first third of the 20th century, your world killed more human beings than were killed during the whole of the Christian dispensation up to that time. It's 2,000 years. And this is only the beginning of the dire harvest of materialism and secularism. Still more terrible destruction is yet to come. Also from paper 195, religion is now confronted by the challenge of a new age of scientific minds and materialistic tendencies. In this gigantic struggle between the secular and the spiritual, the religion of Jesus will eventually triumph. End quote. Christianity, the teachings of Jesus, are clearly under attack from the secular East and the atheist West, or the atheist East and the secular West. The struggle between materialism and secularism, obviously to me at least, is in full swing. Between globalists who seek world domination and those who are trying to keep the idea of God and spirituality alive, because we know that without them we are mere animals, part of the animal kingdom. Like the earlier revelations, which always seem to keep the truth alive from one generation or another, one thing I've learned is that I will not expect the Urantia revelation, the Urantia book, to become trendy anytime soon. This is not the age for it. But I do expect that the revelators intended for us, early adapters, early readers and students, to keep these truths alive by sharing them in some way, in some fashion, by some method, using our skills and sharing these truths with others, to build an insurance plan to help keep God alive during the coming age, perhaps. No doubt we could see some dark times ahead, just as the Noadites, the Adamites, the early Sumerians, Abraham and his followers, Moses, Jesus, Paul, all had to endure massive disbelief in their teachings as they taught new truth. It's a big thing to hold a revelation in your hand. Few souls are fortunate to have a revelation given to them in any age. What we possess, men have spent their lives, centuries, searching for. And during these dark days of the 21st century, it makes this revelation all the more important, worth holding on to. It may end up being man's plan B someday. So we've been given a gift, and perhaps even a challenge, which is to keep the truth of God and creation alive in the hearts of men, even during these seemingly dark times. And that's where we'll leave it this time up on Your Rancher Radio, the podcast, talking about a virus, angels, and a revelation. Until next time.
You're an interesting species, an interesting mix. You're capable of such beautiful dreams and such horrible nightmares. You feel so lost, so cut off, so alone. This was just the first step. In time, you'll take another. This is the way it's been done for billions of years. Small moves, Ellie. Small moves.
But I know a change gonna